All right, so this is, I guess, episode 10 for you podcast people. This is my shitty mic and my shitty mic check, which, if you figured out by now, doesn't make a lick of fucking difference. Fuck everything. What in the... This thing is being a broken piece of garbage. All right, well, mic check. I really do listen to these sometimes. All right, this will be episode 10, I guess.
What the foo is wrong with you?
Alright, so I guess this is quarter after seven. It's definitely a freaking hump day, Wednesday. Alright, so open mic night at the old Cormorant Cafe. See, I gotta consult my notes here, because it seems like I sometimes leave shit out of these introductions. So we have a 15-minute introduction, and I go... I don't tell you who the fuck I am, or where we are, or anything. Alright, so... Let's see... The mic is open, I'm Rob. Said the open mic night thing. We're at cafe. As usual, no one's fucking here. Who's gonna get... coffee. You guys should. It's fall now. It's officially fall. Alright, so, I know I've been talking about reading the last part, but, it turns out I'm kind of old and, decrepit. So the final chapter, Apocalypse Now! That's not the actual title. I just think that since it's now, the time is now, and I'm writing about the apocalypse... that it would be a funny joke. Never mind, I'm just amusing myself at a certain point. Actually, this chapter is called Osprey. And I probably asked for this sore hands because I wrote some little one-page notes. And I didn't do any work in the old try to get people to contribute. Even though a couple of my former contributors have said that they will totally give things. My lack of follow-up is not your fault, guys. But I look at the numbers, and pretty much I'm the only one listening to this, so it's doing its job of getting me writing, and I've been writing a fucking lot. So there's one of these, there's two, there's three, there's four. So these are like little, I don't know what to call them. I write these little one-page, little like a scene. I mean, if I were giving myself some credit, I might call them, like, little paintings in words. So I try to describe the scene as objectively as possible, and then some subjective stuff toward the end. I wrote one for one of our contributors, who's... she's an editor. Her name's Heidi. Mainly because her online handle is Horror Sunflower. Anyway. Oh, that, and I have a ginormous crush on her, because you know how it is. She's cute, she's young, she's smart. What's not to love? Anyway, I don't think she listens to this, so don't worry. Hey, Heidi, if you're listening. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. All right, well, that was introduction. No one's coming. I'll read the first half of the last section, which is called Osprey. Maybe I'll call this part Apocalypse Now, and then the next one will be called Osprey, because this is... this is up to where Letty meets... Hey, I guess it's not good. I can't tell you because I will ruin it. Anyway, alright, so welcome to Open Mic Night. Now it's 18 after 7. I guess there's no one here. It's podcast only this week. And no contributors. It's just going to be me. I'll read these four pages. I'll read the first half of the thing about the apocalypse. Letty, I guess she's the only survivor. It's fine. I mean, not for me and you and all of us. We get to die, but too bad. All right. Okay, so I'll just read a couple of these one-page things. Then I'll read my half of this week's story. And then I'll read the other two. My little tribute to Heidi is one of the pages. Okay. So enjoy. I'll just throw in some music. Interstitial. God, I'm really cutting it close. Oh, yeah, if you don't know these are pre-recorded by now, this is your heads up. These are pre-recorded, and I'm really cutting this one close. This is a practically live episode. Is this an intro? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. All right, I'm going to intro these two one-page scene things. Let's see. Here's one marked one. Okay, this is a magical creature. And then the one that's marked two doesn't have a name. Neither of these has a name. The one that's marked two... Oh, this is a Montreal. This is a character's name is... Yeah, I think the character's name is Jacques. Yeah, he's Parisian, and he's visiting Montreal. If anyone knows, the people in Quebec supposedly speak French. I've been there. Ask me anything, as it were. So, this is a little bit of my own experience goes into this. But, anyway, and the first one's like kind of a magical creature thing. All right, well, that's good. There we are. Intro to the podcast, intro to the first two things I'll read, and, I'll throw in some interstitial music right now and enjoy my little portraits or whatever they are. Prose? Objective writing exercise? Never mind. I hope you like it. Okay, this one's marked one. I'll just say he's a magical creature. He snapped into existence in front of her in the shower, and she was surprised and embarrassed. Don't worry, he said. I can't see anything. She would detect an accent if she weren't terrified. What are you doing here? Fear creeping in. I need to use your shower. After you do, if you don't mind. She says, you mean you're not going to... His face betrayed a look of surprise. Oh no, I'm old anyway, I can't. She says, you can't? He says, I can, but not against your will, you'd hurt me. She says, sorry, she says, I suppose, unless you caught me off guard. Sorry. And then he says, jeez. Sorry. He says, that wouldn't be enjoyable for me. I like others' pleasure. I never became the kind of person who takes without concern for others. She was going to reply, but he vanished. From the other side of the bathroom door, he said, I'll just wait for you, okay? And she says, do I have a choice? And then he says, you can tell me to fuck off and I will, but I'm hoping you'll have mercy on me and let me use your shower in spite of how we met. I'm Bob, by the way. Janice, she showered like normal, started to think it was all an hallucination or a dream or something. But then, after she was dry and leaving the bathroom, he passed her and went in. She heard the water go on. And that's that whole thing. This one's just marked two. I will already tell you the character's name is Jacques, and he is in a Montreal basement dive bar. It's his thing. All right. At the bar, an Asian woman flirts with the tall butch dyke bartender. He watches them for a moment, then returns to his beer. He is seated in a Naugahyde booth in a basement dive bar with terrible lighting, but good beer. Another Asian woman, this one covered as far as Jacques can tell from collarbone to toe in tattoos depicting leaves, vines, and snakes with red eyes. She comes out of the ladies' loo. She approaches Jacques, who looks up and takes off his hat, lying it on the seat next to the wall. "Mademoiselle," he says, tilting his face and closing his eyes. But she only smirks. She does, though, sit at his booth across from him. In Parisian French, he offers her a beer. She says wine. He waves the dyke bartender away from her Asian and gives her the order. Another crap American beer for him and a French red wine for the lady. After the bartender goes, Jacques asks her about herself in English, but she says very little. They sit in silence and their drinks arrive via the same bartender woman. They drink and occasionally make eye contact. All right, that's the second one. Now this is going to serve as the introduction for the next chapter, which is only half the chapter. I'm really sorry. I did intend to finish it. In addition to running against the clock, my hands really sore from all the writing, but I had lots of time. I just didn't write it down, and I don't want to do it off page because I don't feel comfortable with it because I don't think I did a good job last time. Anyway, yeah, so it's time. The apocalypse is here. Apocalypse now! I guess I'll call it that since it's pretty much that's what's going on. Enjoy. Yeah, it's me again, Letty. So yeah, everything Maybe said is true, and anyway, she was more trustworthy than me to begin with. But now it gets rather sad. Every human dies, and I'm mainly upset about the people I knew. May, her sister, that teacher Miriam, her niece Charlotte, little orphan Annie, the bartender at Harry's bar, Lick? I don't know. Her name is spelled L-Y-K-K-E. I swear that I was paying attention when she was talking. I swear. Anyway, 2 days after Charlotte's grad party, college graduation party, the news reports of terrorist threats began to appear on people's news feeds, and if anyone still watched television, maybe probably there too. A group, at the time people thought it was a group, calling itself Osprey, was sending rambling, ranting letters to newspapers and congresspeople. Bottom line on that, I guess they said stuff like, people suck, they deserve what they get, and they were signed Osprey. Osprey were taking credit, or accepting blame, for an attack everyone thought at the time was just an accident at a chemical plant in Albany, where green gas and mud killed a dozen workers on the night shift. This will matter because it was my clue to finding Sinnah, which is, I'll spell S-I-N-N-A-H. So her name, Dr. Cynthia Osprey, which I didn't find her for like 2 weeks, but not to get too far ahead, a day after accepting blame or taking credit for the foreign massacre, as it was called, reports started appearing in news feeds of toxic fumes in major cities, and within a week, everyone was dead. Everyone. Except me. the Primax, Premax pills that I'd been taking somehow filtered the air, near as I can tell, because, well, it turns out I'm just as human as the rest of the dead people. So the only thing that really made me all that different were those pills, and I'd run out. So in a few more days, I probably would be dead as everybody else. Anyway, now when I crashed into Maybelline's Best Buy somewhere over in, I don't know, East Valley, fucking over by Whittier Hills, whatever, I don't know. I don't know the area. Anyway, but you know, I thought I was going home in a commuter shuttle, so I only had a few pills left. And so within a few days of my arriving on Earth, within 3 days to be precise, I was out of Premax, and I guess I'll age normally now. Meanwhile, I still look like a high school student, even now. And it's been a while, guys. It's been a while. But anyway, and it's sad. I'm trying to write this without being too sad. My new best friend and lover and smoking and drinking buddy, May, who hated being called Maybe and drove like she was daring the devil to take her, poof, gone. Her schoolteacher sister, Miriam, who also had a fun nickname, Meerkat, poof, gone. The young niece and her friends and her maybe new boyfriend, woof, gone. The kids and parents at the grad party, gone. The probably gay, probably Danish bartender, lick or like, and all our lesbian friends at Larry's, bam, gone, just gone. May's coworkers, gone, customers, gone. My friends at the coffee shop with their dorky open mic improv show, fucking gone. Everyone, gone. And it really didn't take that long. Between 48 hours and a week, I think, everyone was dead. That wasn't even the worst thing. Their bodies turned into green, muddy goo. Albany was the only clue I had. It was all I had. The first attack took place in upstate New York, and so that was the target. I made my way there. I drove whatever car I found. If it started to get low on fuel, I'd take another. Mostly the keys were in the cars, and the green goop wasn't. Mostly. It took at least a week to get there. It was like I only had one reason to live: find this Osprey group and confront them. Then, I didn't know. Should I gas them? I know what you're thinking. But I've never killed anyone, or anything either, for that matter. At least not intentionally. Could I kill the people who literally killed everyone I knew and loved and everyone else? I doubted it. I didn't even hate them, I think. And probably I was in denial that first week on my cross-country trek. But when I got to Albany, all I saw was the same devastation as always. A human goo had congealed into pits and places and slow-moving cricks and others. Individual puddles were few and rare. Who were they? Who were their friends? Now a small rivulet of once people peacefully flowing downhill. Always were, probably. Just more literally now, I guess. Anyway, I was done with travel for a while. It was late summer, so the weather was okay for the ultimate hermit that I was going to become. I just gave up. I didn't know. Albany was the only clue. I don't even know if I was going there to confront them or because maybe they were still alive and I needed people. Honestly. In a few days, I decided I was most likely alone, the last human in the universe. It stung. It was heavy. There was a weight to this. But then one day in, I think, October, I saw her. A lone woman. Wearing a kind of environment suit and like a dark red rubber gloves, and she was thigh deep in the green goo, in one of the green goo rivers. But how, I thought. I mean, was I hallucinating? Days before, I'd caught myself talking to myself. Maybe this was the next progressive step, you know. Now I'm seeing people. Next, I'll be talking to the people I see. Anyway, I approached her. I don't know. When I first arrived, May described my appearance when she met me. You'll remember. Bizarre, was it? Weird? Well, this woman, bright, red-orange hair, black round glasses, frames in a weird environment suit, unzipped down past her sternum. But that didn't matter much, because she barely had tits. She was, though, on that note, an ass man's dream come true. I mean, not that you'd have a lot of choice in this world. You've pretty much got me and whoever this goo woman was. There used to be a word for this, but I couldn't remember it now. Calypso? No, that's not it. It'll come to me, but you won't know. I tried to make the hallucination go away, you know, the usual pressing on my eyes, shaking my head, taking deep breaths, fake yawning. It didn't go away. And by some miracle or trick of the sun's angles, she hadn't seen me yet. But then I decided to confront her, interact somehow, but I changed my mind. Then I decided to stake her out. I hid and I watched, but I really don't have the patience for that. So I decided to confront her and play dumb, which was always the plan, even back when people were dying and we didn't know and stuff. I was pretty much the only unafflicted person, and even then I thought, I will find them and confront them. Not sure why, I've never really been the heroic type. The way I saw it, if she wasn't involved in the gas attack, she'd be dead and goo. But if she was an anomaly like myself, well then, not openly accusing her would also be the prudent course. I couldn't bring myself to enter the stream of green goo. These were people. I just, even now writing this, just know. So, "Helloa," I called from a bluff between two old buildings. She looked up and I swear registered surprise, which to me meant she was alone. "Young lady," I called, because I forget that I look mighty young. To me, she looked maybe mid-30s, and I, of course, in my mid-50s, but she probably perceives me as a 20-year-old at oldest. Anyway, she's, as I say, maybe mid-30s. She didn't move to approach me, but whatever sick work brought her into the goo streams, she stopped doing that. She stood and stared at me, so I approached her but stayed out of the goo. I tried not to be too obvious about it. Alright, you guys. We're very sorry that that's all I have for you. Honestly, my hand was very sore. And the thing where those two talk is kind of involved. So, next week, I promise. Absolutely. And this was 10 minutes. It's not nothing. Well, this is the outro for that. Again, I'm very sorry I didn't write more, and I don't want to do it off page. I don't want to do it from memory because it's involved and the two of them talk, and that's the end of the thing. Anyway, next week, it'll be fine. And I guess this outro thing will also serve as an intro for Okay, so this is another one using Jacques, and hopefully they are in Montreal because that's where that character is. And the other thing is number 4. I just put Horror Sunflower because that's Heidi's online handle. She's a editor. It's completely irrelevant. I was just thinking about how she seems to like fall and Halloween, so I wrote her a little Halloween page. And so I'll just read those 3 and 4. And so this is the outro for the Apocalypse Now. Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse is what I've decided to call this whole series. And so that's Apocalypse Now. Next week we will call it Osprey. And it will absolutely, definitively be the end of that thing. I guess you could kind of think of this as her, everybody dying and her trip across the country. Not much of a plot, sorry. So 3... we are outside in Montreal, and 4, we are just outside in the country somewhere. Okay, Enjoy. I'm really sorry. I didn't get any guests this week. I didn't get any music this week. God, interacting with humans. I'm just really lazy, I guess. Sorry. Okay, this one is another one of the one page. It just says number 3 at the top. There's no name. I usually do give them names. But this is, let's say, a street scene in Montreal. In the background, two women are talking to the doorman at a luxury high-rise apartment building in a modern cosmopolitan city, which is Montreal. I mean, if the character is Jacques, it's Montreal. A man with a fake American accent is asking passersby for change. He limps after them dramatically. He has a small dog, a tan toy poodle, which he infrequently uses as a prop. Please, she needs food. But without saying as much. Cars line the street, parked nose in at an angle, with each assigned a modern solar-powered government orange-yellow parking meter. Some of these cars are old. Most are new luxury cars matching the high-rise backdrop. A young woman with a pit bull on a leash is walking on the sidewalk, and she sees the man and, thinking he's sincere, tries to actually give him change. He tries to tell her, without breaking character, that it's an act and he's recording a scene. This scene. But she insists, so, with the resolve to do over tomorrow, he completely breaks characters and explains the situation to her. But he also adds he's touched by her generosity, and Apples, that's his dog, seems to like her. He offers to buy her a drink, and they leave the frame together. That's that one. And this one's just called number 4. Once again, I put horror sunflower at the top because I wrote it for Heidi. I also put haha exclamation mark because I don't know why. An older man wearing a long dark charcoal wool jacket stands in a field lined by tall sunflowers against a rustic wooden fence. He is shrouded in mist and slightly out of focus, but may be holding a scythe. The tall grass that he's standing in is above his waist and dry and golden brown. A light breeze causes the grass, and for that matter the sunflowers, to sway to the side, and it blurs them a little more with the motion. He is wearing a mask of a skull for presumably Halloween. It is quite obviously a mask, no ambiguity. Presumably this isn't a serious or professional costume, maybe more like a lark for a Halloween costume party, perhaps. There are crows, if you zoom in on the sunflowers to the left or right, two or three of them, but as I said, it's a little out of focus. And a squirrel, of course, on one rung of the wooden fence. Those are likely a lucky catch, more than intentional, and as I said, out of focus. The entire background gives an intentionally out of focus backdrop vibe, but at the same time, it seems authentic. He's actually standing in a field in tall, dry grass, holding a scythe, and there's sunflowers, and there's like kind of a old-fashioned wooden fence around him. I said rustic. Anyway, if you're listening to this, happy Halloween, Heidi. Thank you. Alright, well, that's everything I have, you guys. I read part of the story. Sorry I couldn't write it all. I honestly do have sore hands. But at the same time, as I said, I really did have time. I just didn't. Let me see. I wrote those four little one-page, little scene things. I don't know. Maybe there's a genre that I'm not familiar with that I'm just accidentally contributing to. Probably that. I can't imagine inventing a genre. That seems unlikely. Anyway, so there were four of those. My half of the thing that I used to call Osprey, I guess I'll now call the first half Apocalypse Now. I should call it Apocalypse Now, wink wink, because the name of that movie. Anyway, let me see. Really sorry there's no third party? Second party? There's none of you participating. Again, my fault. I don't do enough to promote the open mic aspect of the open mic. As I said earlier, I pretty much have this to give me a thing to do and give me a deadline and keep me on my writing game. Otherwise, I become this kind of self-indulgent little puddle of green goo, as it were. All right, this has been Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe. My name is R. Wesley Edwards. You can call me Rob, if you like, or Cormorant. It's true, I didn't really think through the name of the podcast cafe when I started this, because if I'm Cormorant, but I'm not the owner, yeah, it's just a great coincidence. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you did, if I'm doing the math correctly, besides me, there's at least one of you. Again, thanks for listening. Maybe you can go on social media and hit people up and get them to read so I can make this better. As usual, I think Chloe is still my co-host. She's just really busy. I mean, Alice, annotated Alice. She's a school teacher. She's very busy. Her personal life is very busy. Her work is busy. And this was a fun side project for her. And when she's less busy, she'll send us stuff, I think. In the meantime, if you want to be a co-host, hit me up. All my socials are pretty much Common Cormorant, since I don't use Twitter anymore. And even if I did, it's not hard to find me there either. I guess I'm Cormorant Sage. Yeah, try to find me. Use the podcast email. I'll get back to you. Alright, well, I guess I should say the mic is closed, but the mic is pretty much never closed. If you guys send me a recording, I'll put it in the next episode. I think this was episode 10. We're still in season 3. Thanks for listening. Yeah, I'll throw the cow on the end again, just like last time. Alright, I love you guys. Thanks for keeping me active, I guess. Good night. Enjoy the rest of your week.
This place is dangerous.
I am reality's whore!
Oh God, he thinks I'm a freak.